Merkel Media.
Just can never keep this train on the right schedule.
Oh, listen to this guy. He has a rough life. Okay, 10 seconds.
Well, I'm telling you.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right, as long as you're sure. If you have a crazy and wild story from the road, or if you have a conversation you'd like to have with us about your experiences on the road, shoot us an email. Go to hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the Hammer Lane Legends. Go to Hammer Lane Legends. Yeah, website. Thank you, Ship. There you go. My brain's starting to fade. Go to the Hammer Lane Legends website. That's hammerlanelegends.com. Go to the contact section. Hit that, leave us a message. Jack will be in contact with you, and we'll get you on the show. We'll get you scheduled and bring you on the show. We'd love to have a conversation with you. We'd love to hear your stories and love to hear what you have to say about the trucking industry, about your driving experiences and all that stuff. Ship, tell them about the voicemail line.
Well, I was, but I was going to get to the website and the gear first.
Well, you can do that first. Go ahead.
After they get on the website and after they get a hold of Jack about being on the show,
well, after they send also, contact, yeah,
they can also go to the gear section.
That's awesome.
Check out anything on the gear section: sweatshirts, hoodies,
t-shirts,
coffee cups, t-shirts, stickers, you name it, that's on there. And you know, purchase what you like,
and also, you know, that helps to promote the show, because when you wear something that says Hammer Lane Legends, it's a conversation starter.
That's it. And everybody will ask you what's the Hammer Lane thing about, and you can go off and tell them.
There you go.
Anyway,
you show them your app on your phone.
I'm talking.
I'm helping you out.
I know, but I'm talking. Leave a voicemail. Yeah, short story, 5-10 minute shout at 515-585-MERC. 515-585-6375. Leave a short story. You know, we get on the emails. We'll do a
voicemails.
Voicemail show. Yeah, I knew that's what you meant.
You did. I knew exactly what you meant too.
We'll do a voicemail show eventually, once every 90 days, so we don't lose any of them.
Exactly.
And if you have anything, you know, more stories than that, longer than that, again, get on the website, get a hold of Jack, and we're glad to interview you on the show.
Fantastic. Now, we know that we've all seen empty shelves in the store. We're going to have a little bit of a quick conversation about this. We've all seen the empty store shelves. We've all been through the toilet paper debacle of 2021. We've all been through lack of baby formula, all the things that we don't have anymore. All the
lack
things
of
that
DEF.
Lack of DEF.
Lack of home heating oil.
Lackadaisical.
Lack of whimsical.
Yeah, exactly. All these things that we don't have anymore, all these things that are hard to get a hold of now, all these things that we're starting to see shortages on, that can throw a monkey wrench into your life. That can just throw some unease into your life. That can throw a sense of nervousness and frustration. And none of us have a crystal ball that looks into the future to see what's going to happen tomorrow. You want to defray all of that. You want to put all of that unease, that dis-ease aside. Go to preparewithhll.com. Check it out. See what they have. They have a couple of different offers as far as the 25-year food goes. It'll store on your shelves for 25 years. If you don't use it in 25 years, in 24 and a half years, have a party and eat all of your storage food at one time. Invite your family over and have a good time. And thank God that you didn't need it. But it's always better to be prepared. It's better to be a day or two early, or a month or two early, a year or two early, than a day late.
Right.
I agree. And I also found out today that they have something that's so awesome.
They have next and dear and close to your heart.
It is very near and dear to close to my heart. They have survival coffee. It will last you 30 years on the shelf. It's fantastic. It is the most amazing thing, because I cannot see going walking into the future without coffee. I know you don't like coffee, Shep, but that's okay.
I was gonna say I can. I do it every day.
I can't, and I can't see myself doing that. So prepare with HLL.com. If you enjoy the show, you know, do us a favor, and while I'm thinking about it right now, if you think about it when you're listening, go in and like and leave us, you know, rate and review the show. You know, let us know how we're doing. What do you think? I know we're not perfect. I know that, you know, sometimes we sound like a couple of yahoos sitting here laughing and joking around, but we do take it seriously. We take what we do seriously. And we you know, like, and the more rates, the higher the show rates, the more eyes that see it, the more it pops up. So the algorithm likes to see that type of stuff. So rate and review the show. Today, Shep, talk about what is the buy me a coffee thing? What is that?
Oh, it's to keep you fueled
exactly.
With your 30-year coffee.
Keep me caffeinated.
Keep you caffeinated.
That's right.
And me and soda.
So. And you and amen, brother. Caffeine is caffeine.
Right.
No matter how you take your drug.
It's a virtual tip jar. If you feel like you want to buy us a coffee, buy us a soda, you can do that by going to buymeacoffee.com/hammerlanelegends.
Thanks, Shep. That's anytime. Awesome.
Now today's topic.
Today, we're talking to Dakota. Dakota, how the heck are you doing?
Oh, living the dream, brother. Living the dream.
Fantastic. That's what I like to hear. Living the dream.
One day at a time. I don't know who's
dreaming. Sometimes I wish they'd wake up.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir. Sometimes it's been a long, long dream, and it's not always a nice dream. So, but at least we're walking through life in a dream. You know?
Yes, sir.
So I'll take that.
One day at a time.
Yes, sir. I'll take that one day at a time. That's all right with me. Amen. So how are you doing? You're doing well?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Shep, say hey.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
I'm a people person.
He is a people person. He
there
is.
You go.
Yep, he's a people person, man. That's why we work at night.
All right.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Dakota. Like, you know, kind of like what region you're in as far as where you are in the country, what you're doing, what kind of driving you do, and all of that stuff. Just kind of walk us in and how you got started in the driving industry.
Well, most of my life I've lived in the same area. I'm about 40 miles east of San Antonio, Texas. What we call the Hill Country, but I'm kind of in the lower border of the Hill Country. The Sand Hills is what we call this area. But, you know, I lived, my dad was in the Army. I was born in El Paso, lived in Germany for 3 years. Other than that, just been here in this area. My whole family's from this area all the way back since the Germans came up through Indianola, and we can trace all of that back. But what got me started driving was kind of a funny story. It was kind of just a you know, perfect storm of circumstances. I was working security at the time, newly married. I'd been doing security for roughly 6 years, and I loved it. I had wanted to be a police officer for quite a while, and figured security was a good first stop, get kind of a taste. I know they're not the exact same thing, but get a little bit of a taste.
Right.
And as much as I loved security, it didn't pay the bills.
I heard that.
And me and my wife talking about it and came to the conclusion I needed to find something that paid better. And so I was doing security at a engine plant down here in the town I live in. And one of the yard truck drivers came in and stopped to have a cigarette at the guard shack. And so I got talking to him and I asked him, man, how'd you get your CDL? And he told me about this school in San Antonio, Roadmaster. And so I did some thinking about it, did some praying on it, and decided that that was what I was going to do. And I talked to my dad, and he's a higher up in the company that I work for now. But he mentioned to me that, yeah, getting a CDL is a good thing, even if you never drive a truck, because he's in charge of the mechanics division of everything. He just hires mechanics, and he'll hire somebody who walks in and drops off an application if they have a CDL. Just hire them right off the spot and pay them to go and push a broom around the shop, just because you never know when you're going to need somebody who has a CDL.
Right.
And so just keep them on the payroll.
Heck yeah.
So I went to Roadmaster, and they, in order to get in, because of the cost and my credit and all that, I had to get a cosigner. Well, I had nobody that wanted to cosign. And I did some talking to the financial people at Roadmaster, and they said, well, here's the phone number for a recruiter for a mega carrier that we work with. And this mega carrier, don't know if I should say the name, but it rhymes with Warner Enterprises. Right?
Very secretive. Well done.
Nobody will ever know.
Exactly. They won't figure it out.
So they were like, most of the time, if you sign on to work for them, they'll go ahead and co-sign on your loans for you.
Uh-huh.
And they'll actually pay it back every month that you work with them.
Wow.
So you won't end up paying dimes. And I was like, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. So right. I called the recruiter and went through the whole process. They sent me a pre-hire letter, just basically, for those that don't know, saying that, hey, you go through the school, you graduate, we will offer you a job. You don't necessarily have to take it, but there will be a job offered to you.
Right.
And so went through all that, went through the school, did it all. And I had two other companies that offered me a job right out of the school. But I decided, you know, Warner went out on a limb and signed just this random dude from a backwater town that nobody's ever heard of unless they're there. And
right.
offered him a job, so I might as well go with them. So that's where all the fun started.
That's awesome. You know, I think that's an honorable way to do it. You know, I really do. I think that's kind of cool. You know, you felt kind of, I don't want to say obligated, but you felt a sense of responsibility to them because they signed for
right,
you,
right.
You know? So that's cool.
Hey, y'all took a shot on me. I might as well take a shot at you.
Right, you know? Right. Are you still with them now?
No, sir.
Or have you moved on?
I moved on. I now work for the company my dad works for,
okay.
all in pneumatic tankers with cement and fly ash for a concrete company.
Wow, that's cool. You like that?
Yes, sir. I love it. I love it. Get my days where I, mainly just because of the hours, I wake up when my alarm goes off and think, do I really need this job?
Right.
But I still trade it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that way many days when I wake up too. But, you know, by the time I get into work, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm glad I'm here, you know.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
That's awesome. It's a good feeling. It is. So how long did you work for Warner then?
So I started with them. I went up to Dallas for orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Mother's Day of 2019, I believe. And that was an adventure. That was an adventure in and of itself.
I bet. Well, what a day to pick for you to start, you know, Mother's Day. It's like, wow. You know?
I felt bad because I left my wife here at home with the kid while I went up there. But, I mean, in the end, it was a better situation for us.
Sure, sure. It facilitated other things and better things to come along. So that's a good thing.
Exactly.
You know, you endure some of the pain in the beginning so you can get to where you want to be.
And exactly.
That's what you have to do, you know. I know when I first started, you know, you start with the low ball, you know, the cheap job, the, you know, back when I started, 7:45 an hour and stuff like that. But, you do those things to get the experience. So, hey, I'm with you. I feel it,
Yes, sir.
It puts you in a better position. So,
yes, sir. And my orientation ended up lasting longer than most do. if y'all want to go ahead and get into the stories, I don't know if y'all
Heck
got any more questions. You can start there.
No, that's it. I mean, kind of get your backstory and a little bit about who you are and how you got into the truck and into trucking. All as the facilitation of how you got here. Let's hear the stories, dude. I'm good.
You're at the wheel.
So the first thing, I got up there and I went with a guy that I was planning on team driving with. I met him when I was at Roadmaster. We decided not to do that, which was probably for the best. We stayed in the same hotel room up at the terminal in Dallas and got on each other's nerves in a hotel room. I can only imagine how it would be in a truck.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
So day one of orientation, they tell us, okay, y'all are going to do a drug test, which, okay, no problem for me. I don't do drugs. Not a big deal. But they're like, okay, it's a urinalysis test. So if you don't have to use the restroom, we've got water bottles for you. Go ahead and drink one. That way you're ready to go. Okay, cool. I can tell you right now, I did not think this through. So I drank one real quick because I don't know when they're going to call me. And they keep calling people and calling people and calling people and still not calling me. Well, at this point, I got to use the restroom. And so yeah. I asked the instructor, hey, are they going to call me soon? He says, I don't think so. I think you got a ways to go. If you need to use a restroom, go ahead and just get you another water bottle. Cool. So I did that and come sit back down the water bottle. And I'm sitting there and they're calling people and still not me. So I raised my hand again and asked the instructor, are they going to call me soon? He goes, hold on. That's your second water bottle. What's your last name? And I told him, and my last name starts with a Z. Little did I know they were going alphabetical order in a class of almost 70 people.
Well, that explains a lot.
Talk about being picked last.
Yes, sir. When I asked him that second time and he finally realized what was going on, they were on G.
Wow.
So by the time I got called, it was diluted. Bad.
Oh, you're just peeing water. Freaking A.
Yes, sir. So they're like, I was well hydrated. So they're like, we're going to need to redo this. So I ended up having to come in a couple of days later and do it again, which I was staying at the hotel in the at the terminal. So I could just walk to the office, not a big deal. And, so I go down there and redo it and they're like, okay, well, we'll call you when we get the results back and then we'll set you up with a trainer. Okay, cool. So I go and I sit there for a week, haven't heard nothing.
Wow.
So I go down talk to the people down there and they're like, you still haven't heard nothing? And I said, no. And they say, well, what's your employee ID? So I told them and they looked me up and they're like, oh no. And I'm sitting here thinking, what do you mean? Oh no. I know I wasn't on nothing. So
right.
What's this? Oh no. Turns out the people that they had doing the tests had lost a batch of the tests. And wow. My good test was in that batch.
Oh my word.
So this was on a Tuesday. And so they're like, do another one for us real quick. So I did another one for them and they're like, okay, come back on Thursday and see if we've heard anything. So I walk back down there Thursday morning and they haven't heard nothing. And at this point, I'm getting tired of sitting in this hotel room. I want to go home, see my son, see my wife. And so I ask them, okay, do they get the results back over the weekend? And the guy said, no, you want to go home for the weekend? And I told him, yeah, I got my car up here. I'd like to go back home for the weekend. And he says, okay, well, come back in the morning. Around 10 o'clock, if we don't have your results back, we'll go ahead and let you go for the weekend. Just be back up here first thing Monday morning in case we get them. So cool. So I packed up my entire hotel room and threw it in the trunk of my car that night and drove my car over to the office and Friday morning, I went in there and checked, and I walked through the door. He looked at me and said, "See you Monday."
Wow.
So I asked, he just, "See you Monday." Cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was a 4.5 hour drive back home. I was 30 minutes from the house, and he calls me, "Hey, we got your test results back."
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
And you said, "See you Monday."
He's like, "But we're not going to assign you a trainer. I already know you're already almost home. Just come back Monday. We'll figure it out then."
Cool. Well, that's good. Yeah, friggin' A.
At least I got paid the whole time. It wasn't much, but I got paid. Something.
Good, good.
But that was the start.
Right.
So how was the trainer?
So I ended up going through two trainers.
You wore them out? Is that what happened?
My first one I requested off of that truck.
Ah.
She was an owner-operator. And you could tell she was in it more for the money than for actually training people.
Uh-huh.
And I got on her truck day one, you know, hadn't been in a truck since Roadmaster. And at that, it was just go around the block and come back. So I got in the truck and she programs the GPS, says, "Drive us here," and goes into the back and goes to bed.
Wow. That's a heck of a trainer.
I'm telling you. So I was very nervous. I drove, you know, 5 miles under the speed limit. We were going to Atlanta, Georgia, and I managed to get from Dallas to the, at the Georgia state line on my clock.
Wow.
And she ended up getting all upset that I didn't make it all the way to Atlanta. Which, really? I'm sitting thinking, well, if you would have been up here helping me, maybe I might have.
Right, right. But, I mean, that's the whole point of training.
Exactly. So right after that trip, I called safety and I asked them, "Hey, you know, can y'all get me another trainer?" Which she was going on vacation anyway.
Wow, that's so a heck of a time.
I'm telling you. So they had her drop me in Phoenix at her terminal there, and I sat there for 3 weeks waiting on another trainer. And finally got another trainer who was out of California, outside of Fresno. And I spent 2 or 3 weeks on his truck. I think 3 weeks, because we had to go to Omaha for a ceremony. But I spent 2 or 3 weeks out on his truck. And other than that trip to Omaha, we just ran up and down I-5 from L.A. to Seattle and back again. And that man taught me so much. I still talk to him every now and then. He was a fantastic trainer.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad you had that experience on the second one. That's fantastic.
Yep. Night and day difference.
Yeah. That's what you need. You need somebody who's going to be there and somebody who's going to walk you through and, you know, get you an opportunity to get used to doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
Not just throw you to the wolves and say, "Well, here, figure it out. I'm going to go lay down, take a nap." You know, that's not a good thing.
But that first trainer wanted to do was team drive. And I mean, while you can do that after the student's been on your truck for a while, you can't do that day one.
Right. Exactly.
Like, she knew you just came right out of driving school?
Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir. We had talked for about 30 minutes before I got on the truck.
Wow. That's a shame.
And her biggest concern was, "Do your feet stink? Because I don't want to smell them in the truck."
Wow.
Do your feet stink? No, I wear flip-flops.
People person.
Wow. I mean, she was tough, but good night, nurse. She was not trainer material.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure she was a nice person. You know, like you said, just not trainer material. I agree with that. It takes more than just a little bit of input. It takes more than just, "Here you go. Here's the key." You know how to shift. See, I'm going
right
down. Yeah.
Right.
That's just, wow. That's a shame. But I'm sure she's a great driver. You know, I'm sure she's professional and everything. You know, just not a good trainer.
Every driver that knew her had nothing but good things to say about her, but none of them were trained by her. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, that makes a difference. It does.
But I don't know how many she had trained before me, but I'd be scared to see some of them on the road.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because you can learn a lot of bad habits doing it on your own.
You absolutely.
And this is not the industry where you want to have a lot of bad habits.
Right. Can't afford to.
No.
But so another funny story, going back to when I was stuck in that hotel room in Dallas, we had trucks that weren't with our company that would park along the road. And we had a big, 6-7 foot tall fence that separated the road from the terminal. And every evening we'd go down there and sit by the smoke pit and play cards. And we'd take bets because there were, I might throw a few people that aren't drivers off, but there were lot lizards that would walk the road and knock on all the trucks that were parked out on the road.
Uh-huh.
And so we would take bets, hey, is she going to get in? Is she not going to get in? And if she did, how long is she going to be in there for? Well, there was one time she knocks on the door and gets in. We timed her 7 seconds after that door shut. She came back out.
Wow.
And I'm sitting here thinking, man, I feel sorry for that driver. That's all you could handle? 7 seconds? Really?
Wasn't it 8 on a bull?
I'm telling you. You wouldn't even score bull riding with that. But she comes out and she walks down the road and leaves. And we're sitting there just laughing about this because this is the funniest thing we've ever seen.
Right.
But it got even better. She comes walking back about 30 minutes later and goes right up to the same truck. And she's got her hands full of Walmart bags. And she knocks on the door. The driver opens the door, takes the bags from her, and hands her a wad of cash, and she goes on her way.
Wow.
And I'm sitting here like, this dude paid a hooker to go grocery shopping for
him. Just personal shopper.
DoorDasher, so, isn't that like a
sort of
Instacart?
In a way.
Yeah. But
my question to you about that is, would that still be considered soliciting a prostitute?
That's a good question.
I'm thinking seven, we're going back to the 7 second rule, 3 seconds if it falls on the floor, but I don't know. there's a lot to be left to the imagination on that one.
How about it?
So what you're saying is she took a lot longer shopping than she did.
Than she did in the truck.
It was a big lot of cash, so she made well enough.
Yeah, she got paid well for it. Heck yeah. Wow.
Maybe she's the one who started Instacart.
That could be.
Right. It might have been a $100 bill wrapped around a bunch of ones, but still.
Right.
Exactly. Wow. I'm going to call a lot lizard to go shopping for me. Wow. I don't know about that.
That's a lot of trust, but at least he gave her the money after he got the groceries.
Right.
Exactly. What the heck? Oh, my. Well, I guess that explains the 7 seconds in the truck. Here's my shopping list. Right. Here's the money. See you in an hour.
Yeah, I didn't feel near as bad for him afterwards.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. It's crazy the things you see, isn't it? The crazy things you see on the road. Even when you're just getting started.
I was on the road.
Exactly. Exactly.
I haven't even gotten off the first trainer's truck and I've seen that.
Wow. Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
Where can it go from there?
Oh, how about it? Oh,
endless possibilities there.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir. But not long after. So, when I got off my second trainer's truck, he dropped me in Fontana, California, just outside of Los Angeles. And it was July 4th that he dropped me off. And I went in and did my test. And the guy was like, well, we don't have any trucks for you. So get the shuttle ride back down here tomorrow morning. We should have a truck. It's supposed to come in overnight. We'll clean it up overnight and have it ready for you. All right. No big deal. So I go over to the hotel and I'm sitting there watching my NASCAR races because that's my favorite pastime. Nothing like watching cars go around in a circle for hours.
Amen, brother.
But I'm sitting there watching it and I had ordered pizza, had me a big 2-liter soda with me, which I'm with you, Chipper. coffee ain't my thing. Give me a nice.
See, there is another person.
Give me a nice Coca-Cola and I'm happy.
See that?
So I reach over to grab my soda and I notice the liquid in the bottle is moving. It's sloshing around real heavy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, what in the world would it be doing that for? I haven't hit it or anything. I haven't grabbed it for about 15, 20 minutes. So why would it be doing that? So I grabbed it and thought that's weird. And then I looked over and the lampshade's doing the same thing, swinging back and forth. And so I stand up and as soon as my feet hit the floor, I feel it. There was a big old earthquake.
Wow.
So I've experienced hurricanes. I've been in tornadoes. I've been in hailstorms, ice storms. You name it, but never an earthquake.
Right.
There's a first
don't
time
even start with the musical reference. I know where you're going.
And so I go and I open the door to my hotel room, and it opens right out onto the balcony. I can oversee the pool and everything. The water's splashing out of the pool. People are running, screaming. And I'm on the second floor.
Wow.
So I start doing, you know, scenarios in my head. Uh-huh. Do I go down? Because if this building collapses, if I'm on the bottom floor, I'm not going to fall anywhere.
If I stay up here, I might be the bottom floor.
Exactly. But if I go down there, yes, I'm not going to fall, but I've got everything above me. I've got two floors above me that are going to fall on me.
Yes. Exactly.
Whereas if I stay here, I got one floor to fall, but there's only one floor on top of me.
Right.
So what do I do?
You got to time the jump.
Exactly.
And so in playing through scenarios in my head, it ended up quitting. And I thought, okay, I'm good. Well, then I had to deal with the aftershocks the rest of the night. But by then, I was sitting there thinking, man, that was kind of cool. Do it again.
Shake the ground.
It's like a Disney ride. Do it again.
It's amazing what 5 minutes can change in your head.
Right.
You know, that was kind of, do it again.
Wow.
Whereas, oh man, I'm freaking out.
Yeah. Heck yeah, I'd be freaking out. Yes, sir. And I'd be freaking out 5 minutes later.
Yeah. I was sitting there thinking that was kind of neat.
Yeah, that first experience with something like that, I can imagine when you feel the earth move under your feet.
Exactly. Here we go.
The power of God.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Woo.
But like I said, I've been in, you know, I've witnessed tornadoes in person, and that just makes me want to see them more. In the moment, yes, I was freaking out, but it just really makes you want to see it again.
Yeah, or at least you wonder if you
I can't speak for everybody.
It makes you wonder if you get tied up in one of those twisters. Is it actually driving time or on duty not driving?
If it were me, it'd be sleeper berth.
Right. How long are we going to ride this one?
Oh, man.
Just a question.
Soliciting a prostitute is just a question.
That's right. Exactly. Soliciting a prostitute to go shopping for you.
Right.
Asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend. Oh, that's good. Well, I've never seen a tornado myself, but I understand that, you know, that draw when you see something that's that amazing, that just awe-inspiring. I wouldn't mind seeing it again at a distance.
Right.
Know?
And when you see it, and see, for me, it was not even necessarily the fact that it was a tornado. It was the fact that it was going. It lifted up, went over several buildings, and came back down. And just, you know, what was so different about those buildings that it actually lifted up? What changed in that millisecond?
Right.
To make that. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And, you know, is that the thing that causes that effect that people talk about, where it takes out this house and this house and this house and
right.
the next
the
house?
Twister.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I burned that movie on VHS up as a kid.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yep. Yeah. That was a great movie. I know we watched it time and time again. When our kids were small, it was like, yep.
Suck zone, man.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. We are going green.
Yes. Total greenage.
I burned up.
Yes. Yep, I hear that.
But, yeah, I don't know where y'all want to take it from there. I got several other stories. But
you got the wheel, brother. In God we trust you.
Yeah, you can do them in chronology. However you want to do it, it's all up, whatever's the best way for you. That works all for right. us. Yeah,
we'll do it in Dakota order.
Yep.
Y'all are in for a wild ride. You want to talk about the suck zone?
Well, just let me know when to start, and I'll hit the timer. We'll see. I'll call time when I'm done.
Wow.
Can you hang on for the full 8 seconds, or is it going to be 10 seconds?
We'll see.
So nothing really, you know, wild happened while I was on my own. I seen a few, you know, interesting people, you could say, but no more so than I saw at home. But one, you know, coming home, talking to my brother-in-law and all that, he had decided that he was going to go and get his CDL. At the time, he was working for the county, being a jailer, and he had had enough of that. So he decided he was in his CDL. I told him, you know, go the same route I did and come with Warner and we can team drive. And so he did. And when he got with Warner, I worked it out to where I could go up to Dallas and I could go through the trainer class. And then when he got out of orientation, I would be done with the trainer class. And he could hop on my truck and I could train him and then we could just start team driving from there. So that's how I became a trainer.
Okay.
Which led into a lot of other adventures.
I bet it has.
Yes, sir. That was some of the most fun I had, though, being a trainer. Several of the students I had on my truck, I'm still friends with, still talk to regularly. So
that's cool.
They're some of the cooler people I know. So my brother-in-law, when I told him I was going to be on this show, he asked me if I was going to tell this story, and I told him, you bet I'm going to. You think I'd miss the opportunity to make fun of you?
Spoken like a true brother-in-law.
I told him, you're going to be famous.
What's his name?
Randall.
And Randall? Here it comes.
I'm actually at his house right now, and he's actually in the other room watching his son and my son while I do this.
Oh, have at it.
Have at it. This one's for him.
So we were, it was still during his training, I believe. But we had stopped in Alabama. I forget the exact town, but it was Northern Alabama on 65. And we were broke down. That stupid international we had that was broke down every 2 weeks. But we were getting it looked at and everything. And so we're sitting in the truck waiting on them to come and let us know they're going to pull it in. And we were playing some video games on the Xbox. And my sister calls him. So he's like, hey, man, I'm going to hop out and take this call. Said, okay, so I paused the game and I'm sitting there waiting. And about 2.5-3 hours later, this dude still has not come back into the truck. And I'm sitting here like, man, I was getting into the game. I'm waiting on you. Come on, hurry up. So I hop out to make sure everything's okay. And he's walking along in the dirt, in the grass, along the parking lot. And I walk over to him. He's still on the phone. I say, hey, man, you all right? He goes, yeah. And I look down. And I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about, but down here, the cattle walking through the pasture will leave a path where they walk because they walk it so much.
Okay.
And my brother-in-law, he's a bigger dude. We say he's comb-fed, but he's a bigger dude. You know, I wouldn't call him fat. I wouldn't call him hefty, but he's a bigger dude.
Uh-huh.
And so he's walking and I look down and there's a path like the cattle would leave.
Wow, he has worn a path in the grass.
I'm telling you. And so I'm like, hey, you left a cattle trail right here. He goes, "You calling me fat?" I said, "Well, I mean, if the shoe fits."
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't mean to offend you or anything.
Oh, no. He starts laughing about it, and he goes, "Man, forget you." Just not in those nicer terms.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh. So I get struck, and I'm sitting there, and he's still out there about 30, 45 minutes later. I'm like, "Holy crap, dude, come on." So I just send him a text message, because I know he's got my sister on speaker. He'll see the text message. So I send him a text message. One word, three letters. Moo. About 5 minutes later, the door opens, and he goes, "Man, screw you."
Screw you.
Ain't that right, Randall? Another he just walked in here.
Another 15 minutes, and you were going to tip him over, right?
I'm telling you. But then fast forward a couple of nights, we're in Denton, Texas, and we stop at a Love's, and I go into the sleeper and I lay down, take a nap, and I'm knocked out cold, and he's up on the top bunk playing on his phone. I don't know if he's texting my sister or what, but he's just playing on his phone, and he hears another truck pull in next to us. They pop the air brakes and it goes silent, and all of a sudden he just hears,
"Wow."
And all he can think about is that cattle trail.
Oh, that sounds so apropos.
And he goes, "Man, I thought about waking you up because you would have loved that." And I said, "You should have, dude. That would have been the world."
Oh, he could have shared that. That would have been awesome.
I told him he had all his buddies come out there to see
it. They're traveling
they
to see it,
you.
Dude.
Yes, they found you.
The whole herd.
They got a taxi. Look at that. A
little sign on the dash. "We found you, Randall."
That is great. That is great.
Yes, sir.
So how long did you running team with him then?
How long did we run teams, dude?
About a year.
A full year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Between your training and all that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably about a year. So, and then he got his own truck. I got my own truck, but we stayed on the same account.
Okay.
And then he ended up leaving Warner and came and worked for the county on a road crew, right?
Yeah.
Doing asphalt work. So.
Cool.
He got smarter before I did, and he came local.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question is, did you work long enough for them to pay off the school bill?
Neither one of us did.
Oh, really?
So once we left, all of that happened was we took over the payments as if, you know, we had been paying it all.
Oh, okay.
So got it paid down a little bit, but still, you know, still have a little bit left to pay. I got about another 6-7 months to pay on it, and then I'll be done.
Good. Good. That's awesome.
So that was Warner's thing where you had to stay on till that was paid off. Is that how that worked?
No, you could leave whenever you wanted. It was just once you left, they stopped paying on it.
Okay.
And then on you. So every month that you were there, they would pay. But if you left, then you took over what was left.
Right. Oh, that's not bad. That's actually really nice. I mean, that they actually did it that way for you, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't, I think it's kind of cool.
Contract. Like that,
right?
Just you were free to leave whenever you wanted,
right?
That's good. So then, when you went from there, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I tried to stay on until I had it paid off, but being away from home just took its toll.
Yeah,
you know?
It does. It does.
Over the road is a single man's game,
right? What kind of schedule did they have you on? Were you out 8 weeks and then back, you know, 2-3 days, or?
You had to be out for a minimum of 2 weeks with the account I was on, and then you got 2 days, but you could stay out another week to get an additional day up to 5 weeks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There were some, I would usually stay 3 weeks out, but there were some times, like say I was going to want to take, you know, 4 or 5 days, I would stay out longer ahead of that.
Yeah. It's
just
a
plan.
Yeah, it's a rough way to live, especially when you're married, like you said, especially when you're married and have kids.
Married and with a kid, exactly. And my son was, when I came home, my son had just started getting old enough to realize, you know, dad's not here.
Right.
And that's what started wearing on me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet. I bet that has got to be a hard thing to do, you know. So,
because I'd be home and he'd be, you know, all over me and it'd be great. And then he started knowing the night before I was going to leave and he'd start getting clingy and crying. And
wow. It's amazing how they know, isn't it?
Exactly. He could time it.
Yeah.
And he knew I was going to leave.
Wow. That is rough.
You watch that one or two times and if you don't feel nothing, I don't know about you.
Yep. Like, I hear that. I agree. Yes. It should bother you, you know.
Exactly.
It should. So
it really should.
So but, you were with Werner for like a, you were with them for about a year, a little more than a year.
I was with them almost 2 years.
Okay.
But after Randall got off the truck and got his own truck, I decided I wanted to keep, you know, training because I enjoyed having somebody on the truck, but I didn't want a team drive because, you know, I don't want to get tired of this person and then still be stuck with them.
Right.
Right.
So yeah, most definitely.
Right. I've got them for anywhere from 2 weeks to a month. And then they're off and I can get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if me and them hit it off and we're cool, I can keep their number and still talk with them like I did several of my students.
Sure.
But if not, then once they're off my truck, I'm done with them. And I don't ever have to see them again.
Exactly.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
Exactly. But yeah, one of my first, I think it was my first student after, Randall, he was an Okie. So we got to cut him a little bit of slack there. Oklahoma's part of Texas. We didn't want, that's why we gave it to the Indians. But
that's good.
But he was an Okie, but he was a cool dude. And I still talk to him from time to time. Me and him are actually considering starting our own podcast, basically not about anything in particular, just make a phone call and let's record the phone call and put that as a podcast.
Heck yeah. So, that's a cool idea, dude. You should, if you know, you should go for it. You should go
exactly,
for it.
Because me and him will sit there and just talk and spend most of it laughing at jokes that we crack.
Right.
So if we enjoy it, who else will?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, that would be awesome. Well, if you do it, let us know. And,
for sure. For
you know,
sure.
We'll talk about it on the show.
For sure. But we were going to name it after a game that me and him coincidentally came up with and decided to play in. A lot of over-the-road drivers out there may say we're jerks for doing this, but you know what? It gave us entertainment, okay? Right. And if you put yourself in a position that us playing this game messed you up, that's on you. Because we called the game Lot Is Full.
Okay.
Okay. And y'all know the app Trucker Path?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how it'll tell you, based on what other drivers say, how full the parking lot is.
Right.
At a truck stop. So we'd get in there, you know, because I like to run from get up at 3 a.m. and go until your clock's done. That way we got it to a truck stop with plenty of time. And never had to worry about a parking spot. But we'd get there, and if it was empty, we'd start putting on Trucker Path, Lot Is Full, Lot Is Full. And we'd keep checking it and make sure that it said Lot Is Full at all times. And we'd do this while we're sitting there watching TV and just see how long we can keep it empty. Okay. And then once it filled up, we'd start putting Lot Is Empty. Lot Is Empty.
Wow.
And then we'd go up front and just sit there and watch the trucks come filing in.
You know, you got to have fun sometime.
Exactly. And that was, you know, a ton of entertainment that we had.
I bet.
We would sit there laughing for hours at people just coming in and getting all mad.
Oh, that's good. That is good.
Like I said, were we jerks for doing it? Yeah, maybe so, but it was funny.
Yeah, you could say that, but you know, you got to have a sense of humor.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, if you were so close on time that it messed you up, that's on you. You should have planned better. I always tried to find a truck stop where I had an hour and a half cushion at least.
Right.
Just in case of that situation.
Sure.
Should have planned better.
That's the difference between somebody who's thinking about what they need to do and somebody who's just driving.
Exactly. That's the difference between drivers and steering wheel holders.
Yeah, exactly. I hear that.
And the sad truth of it is we got way too many steering wheel holders out here nowadays.
Amen.
But yeah, me and him, we did that for a long time. And the weekend before he got off of my truck, the maddest I've ever been, let me tell you. Okay. That's this story. Weekend before he got off my truck, we stopped in Greenwood, Louisiana at the Loves for the night. Well, the next morning, we were going to go drop a load in Houston, and then I was going to go home. And I hadn't been home in a month. So I was ready to get home. Well, we get in the line to get fuel in the morning, and this truck is sitting there. That truck sat there in that line for 30, 45 minutes. Did not move.
Wow.
And finally, I had enough. So I got, and it wasn't like we could back up and go to another line because there were trucks behind us, and there were trucks lined up out the road on every pump. And so I got out and went up and knocked on the door. Well, this dude gets out of the sleeper and comes up and opens the door. I said, dude, you mind moving your daggum truck? And he goes, oh, well, my partner's taking over. He's inside taking a shower right now. When he gets out, he's going to do his pre-trip and then we'll leave.
Wow. He parked at the fuel island to do that.
Exactly. And I told him, this is a fuel island. This is for fueling and moving out of the way. This is not for taking a shower and doing your pre-trip. And he told me the thing that set me off the worst I've ever been. He looked me dead in the eye and he said, well, that's your opinion.
Wow. Wow. What a helpful driver.
I would be lying if on the walk back to my truck, I didn't consider pulling his kingpin. I considered it. I didn't do it.
Right. Right. That is just crazy. I mean, you hear that stuff so many times of drivers just pulling into a fuel island and parking. It's like, no, you in a park to go inside and do whatever. You go park. You don't park exactly at the fuel island. You don't tie up the island.
I've had many a guy go in and get food out of the restaurant and then come back out.
Right.
But this dude went in there to take a shower.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seriously.
I mean, you know, I'll be the first to admit, the rare times that I go in a truck stop, I feel the same way where I go to the fuel island, you know, long as there's like, you know, 15, 18 different islands and there's only like two trucks.
Yep.
You know, rather than me trying to find a spot and take up somebody's spot that they're trying to get a spot to go to sleep. You know, because I'm only going to be there 15 minutes at the most.
Yep.
You know, or I'll pull through where, you know,
somebody can pull through
that somebody can actually get fuel. And by the time I'm in and out, they're, you know, they didn't even start fueling yet.
Yeah.
But, I don't, you know, I feel the way, you know, why should I be taking up one of their spots where, you know, they need to go to bed for 10 hours, you know?
Exactly. I understand that.
But, to go to get a shower and, you know, no.
Yeah,
no.
That's just
that dog don't hunt over
no.
here.
No, sir.
Yeah. That's a good way to get your tire slashed or your kingpin pulled, let me tell you.
Ain't that the truth? I don't advocate any of those things, but ain't that the truth?
Exactly. I don't advocate it, but.
Right. Doesn't mean it hasn't crossed your mind. Right.
It did. I my student even knew what I was thinking because I walked back and I stopped about halfway down his trailer and I turned and looked and I was sitting there thinking, should I or not?
Right. Yep. And you know, one of the things that runs through your mind is if I do that, then I'm stuck here even that much longer.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Well, by that time, you're telling the guy behind you, hey, back up. Yeah,
just, we're all getting out of here.
We're all out of here.
Exactly. But So in the email, I had mentioned what I believed was a specific object that I had found on my truck. I don't know if Mr. Jack had told y'all about that.
Nope, he didn't. I am interested. Now I'm very intrigued.
This is something Tony would be interested in because of his other show. You'll appreciate that.
Okay.
Mr. Brian. So not long after that student got off my truck, I was doing a run up to New Jersey. And I thought, let me tell you, if I never go back,
it'd be too soon.
Just because of this trip. It's only because of this trip. I've been up there again, and that wasn't bad. But this trip right here has traumatized me. So I stopped for the night at this Love's in Virginia. And I go inside, take a shower. I come back out. I wasn't parked at the fuel island. I come back out and get in the truck. And there's this little card laying next to my fridge, but it's on my floor.
Uh-huh.
And I've never seen this thing before in my life. And keep in mind, my truck was locked completely. I'm very security conscious. That truck was locked.
Mm-hmm.
And this card's just laying there. And I think, that's weird. What is this? So I pick it up, and it's laminated. And on one side, I don't know how to describe it other than it looked like, you know, the Catholic symbols of the Virgin Mary and all that.
Okay.
Except she was holding two children.
Hmm.
And then I flipped it over. And it had writing on the back, but it was in no language I've ever seen. I've shown it to so many different people and nobody can identify it, but it looked like a cross between Arabic and Hindi.
Wow.
So I don't know what this thing was. I don't know where it came from. Nothing. So, and keep in mind, this was a new truck. Okay. I was the first person to have this truck.
Right.
So it's not like another driver could have left it. So I thought, that's weird. So I go to bed and I thought nothing of it. I threw the card in the drawer in my truck and thought nothing of it. Well, next morning I wake up and I'm getting dressed, getting ready to head out, and I can't find my wallet. And I'm the kind of person, I know it's in the truck, but I have to have it in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have it in my back pocket, I'm freaking out all day. So I start looking for it. I'm tearing this truck apart and I cannot find it. And I call my fleet manager and tell her, and she's like, well, you can't drive unless you have your license. And I said, well, I'm well aware of that. I'm just letting you know I might be late for my delivery because I can't find the wallet. And she said, well, let me know if you find it. Said, okay. And keep in mind, I'm freaking out because it's got my credit card, my social security card, my license, everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know my truck was locked overnight. So I end up finding it 2.5-3 hours later.
Wow.
It under the mattress that I was sleeping on, dead center of the mattress. How did it get there?
And you didn't put it there, obviously.
No.
Because you're looking for it. You're spending 2 hours looking for it. You know, it's not like...
if I would have put it there, I would have remembered that.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Such
an odd thing. I would have remembered putting it there. So it gets stranger. I find it. I'm like, okay, cool. Found it. No big deal. Let's move on. So it's weird that it was there, but let's move on. So I get going and stop further north in Virginia and do my 30. And I come back out to a message on the Qualcomm. And it says, Qualcomm is down, messaging, ELD, and GPS is not available until further notice. I'm thinking, oh, well, that's lovely. So I look at, you know, my delivery date and do the math in my head,
mm-hmm.
figure out, you know, I've got 2 days to spare. I'm making good time. So I'll just go ahead, sit here and do a 34-hour reset. Maybe this thing will reset. If not, oh well, I'll go to paper logs and figure it out. Not a big deal. Do I want to? Not really. But if I have to, I'll do it.
Sure.
And so I did a 34. it came to be the day that I had to leave, and everything's still not up. So I'm like, okay. Well, I had a Rand McNally, so I'm good on GPS. That thing is a lifesaver. If you don't have one, I recommend everyone get one. Fantastic. But so I'm going up to New Jersey. I get into New Jersey. I get into New Jersey, and going down this road, I'm about 45 minutes from my delivery. I stop at a stop sign, and a car rear ends me. And so I had to deal with the police with that and all that. That was fun. And keep in mind, this was the night. I'm a big Cowboys fan. This was the morning after the Cowboys whipped up on the Eagles that year. And the cop to respond to it was an Eagles fan, and I was wearing all my Cowboys gear.
Of course. You know that's how it's so going to be.
Sure, I'm getting a ticket. Even though I did nothing wrong, he's going to find something. But he was cool. He was a really cool officer. It was good. It was nothing but good things. But I get up there, I do this delivery, and I go park. And my fleet manager texts me, and she goes, hey, I'm going to have to text you your next load because it won't go through on Qualcomm. Okay, cool. No big deal. She sends me the address. It is two blocks away from Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Wow.
Welcome to the Big Apple.
Yeah, man.
So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I go, and I'm trying to get there. Well, I get into New York City, and my Qualcomm just crashes. Or not my Qualcomm, my Rand McNally just crashes. I've got no idea where I'm at. And this was probably poor plan. I'll take responsibility for that. But so I end up stopping, and I'm like, okay, I know I need to make this turn. I can't make this turn. There's cars parked on the side of the road. I can't make this turn. I ended up having to call a New York Police Department to come and get me out of there.
Holy cow.
I'm telling you. And so I called my fleet manager to let her know what's going on. And her response is, well, why are you in New York? And I said, what do you mean? Why am I in New York? And she goes, well, that load got canceled at 4 a.m. So why are you there? Nobody told me.
Remember the message you had to text me?
Yeah, I got a text saying that I had to go here. And that was the last I heard. And they're like, well, they sent it over the Qualcomm. The Qualcomm is not working.
Wow.
So I get out of there and I call my fleet manager and I tell her, look, I'm going to a truck stop. If you find me a load, cool. I'll pick it up in the morning. I'm done for the day. Like, I've had enough.
So you got rattled in the apple.
Yeah, I don't blame you, dude.
I go park, and I'm laying there watching TV in the bunk, and all of a sudden I hear something hit the side of my truck. And I get out. This dude's backing into the side of my sleeper.
Wow.
And so I jump out. I can't get out the driver's side because that's the door he's hitting. And so I jump out the passenger side, run over there, and get him to stop. The cops come out and deal with all of that. Well, then the cops asked me for my information, so I'm like, yo, it's in the truck. Let me go get it. So I go to get in the truck. Yeah, I locked my keys on the truck.
Wow.
Excuse me. I was going to say, well, at least you're in Jersey because there is a person or two that could get in that truck very quickly and efficiently if they needed to.
I could probably find them sitting in the parking lot.
Right. Probably, yes. If not in
Bordentown.
Yeah, I was going to say 206 Bordentown if you were at a truck stop because there ain't many in New Jersey.
No, there's not.
As a matter of fact, I can tell. I think there's three of them. You know, the TA out there on 80, pilot up on 17 and 287, and Bordentown.
Exactly. This was Bordentown. I was at the TA.
Okay.
So a locksmith comes out, gets my stuff. I give it to the cop, you know, take care of all that. And I call my fleet manager first thing the next morning. I tell her, do not ever send me to New York again.
I don't blame you.
So she sent me a load, to pick up in South Philly and then take down to just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Cool. I'm finally getting out of this area.
Right.
So I go and get it, head down, deliver it. While I'm sitting there getting unloaded, I start hearing somebody talk. And keep in mind, all of this is after I found that card in my truck. And so I start looking around. There's nobody near my truck, but I can clearly hear a voice. And so at this point, I'm freaking out.
Right.
I'm thinking there's something weird going on. It took all of this for me to think something weird is going on. So I call a buddy of mine and I tell him what's going on. He goes, dude, it's that card you found. I'm telling you, that thing gave me the creeps when you sent me a picture of it. I said, what do you mean it's the card? He goes, that thing is cursed, dude. I was like, I don't know if I believe that, but whatever.
Right.
Fine. I'm willing to try anything. So I'll try anything twice. So I get out and take the card and I go and throw it away. Nothing else happened. That night, the Qualcomm started working again. My Rand McNally started working again. Everything went back to normal.
Wow. Is that not so crazy?
I'm starting to think it might have been cursed.
Yes, sir.
The day after I threw it away, the picture erased from my phone of it. So I don't even have a picture of it anymore.
Wow.
I sent it to my grandmother and had her take it to her pastor and ask him if he knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
He had no clue. So, which that man was in the Middle East. He, you know, has fought in Israel and Afghanistan and Iraq. Mm-hmm. He had no clue. So he didn't even recognize the writing as anything.
Wow. That is weird.
It's very weird.
Heck yeah. Wow.
But like I said, all I can think is that thing might have actually been cursed.
It sure seems that way.
But
I was going to say, you threw it away in Atlanta. I could understand if you threw it away in Jersey. That would really explain a lot.
I threw it away in Atlanta. Well, just outside of Atlanta. It was some small town just outside of Atlanta. And nothing else happened after that. Everything went back to normal.
Wow. You know, let it be somebody else's curse.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. But
what a chain of events.
I don't know how we're doing on time or anything, but there's a bunch of other stuff that I've been through with other students and then what ultimately led me to finally come local.
Yeah, we got all the time you need. Go ahead. Shoot for it.
Okay. I don't want to run y'all over and waste y'all's time with my rambling.
No, you're not wasting any time. You're good.
But fast forward a few students. I've got this one. I'm still friends with him. He lives outside of Orlando now. But if he listens to this, he'll know what I'm talking about. That dude could drive a truck flat out. No joke. He was a Marine. Well, sorry. He is a Marine.
Right.
No, there's no such thing as a former Marine.
Exactly. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Exactly. He is a Marine. And when he was over with the Marines, he was a diesel mechanic. So he drove, you know, periodically here and there. But this was his first actual truck driving job. And that man knew what he was doing. I'm telling you. We were up in Minnesota in a whiteout blizzard trying to find a place to pull off. And he hit a patch of black ice. And I've never seen somebody handle the truck better than that. And keep in mind, that was 2 weeks into his training.
Wow, that's fantastic.
He says, hold my beer, watch this.
That dude, I didn't have to train him a thing except for how to use our tablet. He knew what he was doing.
He took it like a duck to water.
There you go.
There were a couple of times the truck had mechanical issues, and I tell him, okay, we'll pull into this truck stop, and we'll call and get a mechanic to do that. He'd pull in, by the time I had my fleet manager on the phone, he had been under the hood and already fixed it.
Wow. That's a helpful guy to have around. That's the kind of guy you want to team up with. It's like, yeah, dude, let's do this.
Exactly. He actually ended up coming to family Christmas with me when I came home.
Nice.
And it wasn't even planned. We got picked up from the truck because I couldn't get the truck to the house. And we got picked up from the truck and brought to my grandparents' house for Christmas. And we hung out there for a while before I took him to the hotel.
Right.
And I mean, my whole family still remembers him and is always asking about him.
Made a lasting impression.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really cool. That is really cool.
But yeah, then my last student, I was with him. And this was what made me actually stop over the road. I tell people it was being away from home, which partially, yes, it was, but it was really this. We're driving into Dallas. My student's driving. I'm in the passenger seat because I hated having a student up front and me being in the sleeper.
Sure.
Doesn't matter if I think they're capable or not. I couldn't do it because as a trainer, I felt it was my responsibility to be there if they needed me.
Yep.
And how can I do that if I'm asleep?
Right.
So I'm up front, I'm playing on my phone, he's just driving, and it was real windy. And this dude on a motorcycle comes flying around us. Our truck would clock the vehicle in front of us and figure out what speed they were doing. Mm-hmm. It clocked him over 120 miles an hour.
Wow.
And fast forward about 20, 30 minutes later, we hit a traffic jam. And I think y'all know where this is going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We get up to the front and there's this motorcycle laying on its side. And I look at it as we go by it and I think, man, that looks like that bike that flew past us. And about 50 yards ahead of it, there's a white sheet laying on the ground with something under it.
Wow.
And about 50 yards ahead of that was the dude's helmet. Well, what was left of it. So after that, I was like, yeah, I can't do this. I can't go on from my family. Because all I could think was, if that happens to me, something like that happens to me, and I'm states away, how long is it going to take for my wife and my son to find out?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So I couldn't do that anymore. Next morning, a few months before that, my dad had called me and asked me if I wanted a job with his company, which is Tex-Mex Concrete out of Austin. Okay. Concrete. But he called me and asked me if I wanted a job hauling fly ash and cement. And at the time I was happy with Warner. So I was like, nah, I'm good where I'm at, you know, no big deal. Well, the next morning I called him, woke him up. And all I said to him was, is that job still available? He said, let me call the dispatcher and make sure. 2 hours later, I had a text message on my phone. Called this number. Called it. Sat there and talked for about 20 minutes with the dispatcher. And had me a job. Put in my 2 weeks that minute.
That's good. That's awesome. Good. That is good for you.
Look back. I'm making more money doing this than I ever did road. And I'm home every night and off on the weekends.
Isn't that nice?
Exactly.
Yes.
I never.
That's my dream.
Well, look at that. You're living your dream, dude.
Yeah.
You got your wish.
Home all weekend? Not quite. The
only downside is most days I start at midnight.
Oh, wow.
I'm off around 2 or 3 o'clock in the evening. So I have a
backup. You talking 2 or 3 p.m.? Or back at correct. 2 or correct. 3 a.m.
Yeah, p.m.
P.m., p.m.
Ah, 14-hour day.
Yeah.
That's a I hop, 15, skip, and a jump.
I have 15 hours. I've got enough time during the week to get home, eat, shower, and go to bed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's the.
I'll see my wife and my son for about 20 minutes, and then I'm in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the four-day thing, but 15 hours, you know, back before I changed the rules. You know, doing the... I did... Two on, two off. I mean, two on, one off, two on, and then the weekend.
Right.
But that was, you know, two 15-hour days, off one day, you know,
right. And then 215
and then
again.
The other 215s, but you know,
yeah, this is 15-hour days, but because it's interstate, you know, it's you know how interstate you have 14-hour days with right. 11 hours of drive.
Right.
I have 15-hour days with 12 hours of drive.
Okay.
Wow.
But it's still 70 hours in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's because Texas.
68 or 69 hours.
You know, they usually change that, you know, from Pennsylvania. You know, Texas is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Like right. Wyoming would be.
Texas, we really don't care. Just push it.
Right.
Whatever it takes to get it done, just right. get it done.
Exactly. We're a bunch of cowboys out here.
Yes, sir.
But I love it. I have the weekends to do whatever I want. And I actually feel like I'm actually doing something for a living. I'm actually working. I get home and I'm drenched in sweat and I feel accomplished. Like it's not, I'm not saying I didn't do anything when I was over the road, cause I did.
Right.
That's hard work, not taken away from it. But I actually get home and I feel like, okay, I accomplished something.
And that's a good feeling, isn't it?
It's a fantastic feeling.
Yeah. And there's a paycheck at the end of the week.
Yeah,
exactly. I get a paycheck every week. Usually I clear about $1,300-$1,400.
Uh-huh. I believe it.
And all that overtime.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And with all that overtime and you're still home to spend time with your kid and your wife on the weekends, you know,
exactly.
That's really important.
The only thing is it still hasn't, like, I still haven't gotten used to people that I work with knowing who my dad is.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yep, I get that.
I walk around and one of the mechanics who reports to my dad will walk up and say, oh, I need to talk to your dad about something. And my first thought is, why? What did I do?
Yep. Yep. I am. Yes.
So why are you asking me? Ask him.
Exactly. It's really weird when my dad shows up at a plant I'm at. But. And my dad got on to me a while back. I was talking to this loader man, and he wanted to move it to being a mechanic, and I gave him my dad's number. I said, well, call my dad. My dad's the one that hires the mechanics. Call him. Talk to him. And my dad got on to me. He's like, why are you giving my number out to everybody? I said, why don't you ask the company? Because at orientation, they give us a sheet of all the higher-ups. Your name and number is on that.
There you go. It's just incentive.
Everybody has your number in the company. I don't know whether you know it or not, but everybody right. does.
It's not a secret, Dad.
Exactly.
Oh, that is cool.
But I still wouldn't trade this job for the world. It's amazing. I am looking to get out of driving eventually, but I do stay with this company.
That's cool.
I'm not going to leave this company. They're going to have to drag me out the door kicking and screaming if they want to get rid of me.
Well, they're not going to want to get rid of somebody like you. You know, somebody enjoys, you know, having the job and being there and working and doesn't mind doing the job. You know, that's great.
And I mean, it's been getting rough here lately because of the cement shortage, but I still wouldn't train it.
There's a cement shortage?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all haven't heard? There's three countries that most of the cement that we get gets imported from: Mexico, Haiti, and India, and all three are rationing how much they're exporting.
Really?
Yes,
did you
sir.
Know that, Chip?
No, I didn't. I was going to say, you know, we live in Northeast Pennsylvania, where, you know, Portland cement, you know, is right here.
Yeah.
So it's news to me.
Heck yeah!
Yes, sir.
It's news to me.
The only places that aren't feeling it as bad are the places here that actually make their own cement. But those going far between.
Jeez.
But I mean, usually I get four or five loads a day. Last week I got three loads a day and I was lucky to do that.
Wow.
Thankfully I get paid by the hour. So all I had to do was find a way to kill time.
Right.
So I took,
you've taken us back because out here on, you know, one of our interstate highways, they're redoing the highway and they're pouring concrete.
they're actually pouring concrete right outside of the plant I work on I-10. And we're actually the ones supplying that concrete, and it's been rough getting cement for that.
Really? Wow.
I mean, I've heard of, you know, everything else we have a shortage of. I mean, why not concrete? But at the same time, it's like, concrete? Wow.
Yes, sir. And think about all the things that need concrete.
Yes, sir. Holy cow.
But no, last week to kill time, I got a hand grinder with a wire brush attachment on it, went out there and was buffing my trailer, making it shine like a diamond.
Now that's dedication. There you go. In the hot summer Texas heat.
Yeah, sir. It was hot, I'll tell you that. But I did one panel and took a picture and sent it to my boss, and my boss calls me and he goes, "What happened to the trailer?" I said, "What do you mean, what happened to it?" He goes, "Well, why'd you have to patch it?"
Why'd you have to patch
it? I didn't patch it. I cleaned it. Oh.
That's the clean patch.
They look like new.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Oh. But
that's about all I got. I ain't got a whole lot of stories, but.
No, it was good. It was a good conversation. It was fun talking with you, Dakota. Sir. We had a good time.
Yes, sir. It was awesome talking with y'all, too. Y'all keep up the good work. A fantastic podcast, fantastic show.
And besides that, you made Randall a household name.
Exactly.
Exactly. Hashtag move.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think that's the name of the show.
Hashtag move.
I'm going to let Jack know. Oh, yes, sir. Freaking
it. Write that down.
I'll pass the word to him. Just get on there. Look for the one that pops up that says hashtag move. That's your show.
You won't be able to miss it. Oh, look at that. We have the guest that actually names the show.
Heck
for
yeah,
us.
That's freaking funny, dude. That is hilarious.
This is great.
Oh, that was awesome.
Just go ahead and send the royalties in the mail.
Yeah, right. Get right on that. Matter of fact, I have from the law offices, you, Cheatham, and Howe, we have them contacting your people now as we speak.
Good. I'll have to find some people then. There you
go. Well, Dakota, it was really a blast talking with you. We had a good time. Thank you.
I really appreciate the time.
Oh, it was our pleasure. It really
was.
Our
pleasure. We appreciate it. I mean, it was just, like I said, you know, we've said this time and time, the people have been on the show. It's a conversation.
Yes.
And you think maybe you have 15 minutes worth of something to talk about, and before you know it, you know, your jaw is ready to fall off.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So I'm we are glad you were. Had plenty of those. Say that again.
I said, I'm sure y'all have had plenty of those shows where your jaw wants to fall off. I mean, episode 2, I can't beat that.
Oh, yeah. Sam was just different. You know what I mean? That was just one of those shows, and he was, you know, it was just, right. It was a good show.
And,
I agree with you. It was a good show.
Let me tell you, when I first listened to that episode, he started off talking about all the money he was making.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself, I'm in the wrong line of work.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
About halfway through the episode, I thought, I'm in the correct line of work.
Yeah, it's amazing how that changes. Yes, it is. But yeah, that was a good, he was a fun guy to talk to. And, you know, they're all fun. All of you interview, everybody who we talk to, every conversation that we have, to me is fun. It's interesting because it's personal. It's about
exactly. The
person you're talking to, and it's an interaction. And I just think that is something that's missing sorely in our society today. That is this personal interaction with people.
Certainly is. People don't want to sit down and talk anymore. They just want to sit down and argue.
Yes.
And you'd be amazed at the common ground you could find if you just have a civilized conversation with somebody.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on or where you're coming from or anything else. If you set all of those things aside and you just have a conversation, you'd find out you have a lot more in common than what you think.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Well, we really appreciate it, Dakota. We really did have a good time having you on. And
I did. I appreciate y'all.
We appreciate you listening and sending in the email and contacting us. It was good. It was good.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ship, you want to take us out? Hold on a second there, Dakota. Ship's going to take us out, and
yeah,
then we'll close it out. Yep.
Close you out. So that's the show for tonight.
If you enjoyed
the show, share the show. Share it with a friend. Share it with Randall.
Sure, everybody you know whose name is Randall.
Hashtag moo. Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Amen, brother.
Have a good night.